All of us want to be happy, right? Everybody wants to be happy. When I was a non-Christian, it was the one thing that I recognized in a Christian near me, and I wanted to be happy because I was so sad. I knew he had something that I didn't have, and I wanted it, but it was primarily encompassed in the idea of happiness. But I'm not talking about just happy like I've got an ice cream cone kind of happy. I'm talking about internally, truly joyful. A joy that goes beyond our wildest understandings. And my guess is that most everybody in the room would say, yes, I do want that. I do want to be internally joyful. I do want to be truly happy, as I'll probably refer to it throughout the sermon. In our attempts, though, to be happy, we often struggle with the sinful world that we live in because it can tear us down. It's all around us. We can't get away from it. With all the sin and temptation to sin, philosophy on life that is completely unrighteous, sometimes the happiness we have in the Lord wanes. Think about how much surrounds us that is ungodly, just with technology alone. We've seen an incredible opportunity for the growth of sin. With the inventions of radio, then TV, then the internet, and now our phones, of course, we can be influenced by ungodliness at levels never, ever seen before. Certainly, there are some good things that have been brought about by these technological marvels, no question. But like anything, the wicked and perverse generation that surrounds us uses it to spread an entire unbelievable amount of ungodliness through these things. So to protect us from this, God has given us some instruction, hasn't he? We are to go to church. We are to experience the means of grace through his word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. We are to pray. We are to fellowship with believers. We are to marry Christians. We are to raise our children in the wonderful truths handed down from us from previous generations. As we attempt to do this, however, our attempts at happiness can be tried and tested regularly. Our battles in a sinful and corrupt world can bring us down pretty quickly. We have to be conscientious of what we watch on TV, what we flip on our phones, what we look at on the computer. Parents have to be very aware of the influences these have on their our children. Grandparents are pressed with new technology and how to navigate all this stuff with their grandkids, just like your grandparents did with the inventions of the radio and the TV, I'm guessing. The workplace is filled with temptations to cheat, lie, and steal from our employers. We have to deal with all the horrific language on the radio, the TV, movies, and in the workplace. Think about all the slander and hate people have for one another. All of this we are trying to avoid because God's word says it will alienate us from him. But it's hard to stay away from it. This kind of atmosphere day after day can take its toll on Christian happiness. And before you know it, we're not so happy. So what does the Word of God tell us concerning this particular issue? As one of our pastors in Grand Rapids shared with us, happiness is one of the main forms of witness to the unbelieving world. And that really stuck with me because, as I said at the beginning of this, it was what drew me, or at least what I was attracted to as a non-Christian. So what does the Word of God tell us concerning this issue? What does God's Word tell us will help us remain truly happy in the midst of all of the ungodliness? We will remain truly happy among the ungodly if we flourish in God's will. That's the answer. It's a simple one, but really hard to do. We will remain truly happy among the ungodly, amongst all the sin, if we can flourish in God's will. Verse 2, those that desire true happiness delight in living out the will of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Living according to the will of the world is not the way to remain happy for the believer. Rather, the believer's delight is to live according to God's will, which brings the true happiness we've been discussing. The law of the Lord here can be translated a variety of different ways. The Ten Commandments, the book of Deuteronomy is known as the law. Any passage in the Bible, a reference, anything with divine authority attached to it, anything that comes from the Word of God, would be described as God's will. Those that desire true happiness delight in living in accordance with the will of God as they live in a sinful world. The term delight here has an ethical dimension to it. It is more than, I said earlier, just the mere delight of having a scoop of good ice cream or something. It is more than that. The only correct way to live is for the believer's heart to be inclined toward a particular object. God has decided that His Word, Jesus, is that object, His will for His people. Many Old Testament believers delighted to study God's instructions, as it says in Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they, the Scriptures, than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Strange words for us to use, but essentially he's saying it's really good. Delight is an ethical instruction that guides every bit of the believer's life. It is something that we should seek out. We have a responsibility to seek it day and night. Like that of something we love, we seek. God's will is something that we should delight in enough that we seek it out. Like that of Isaiah 58 that claims believers should delight in God's will in sacred scripture, and our obedience to it brings us joy. Psalm 1 states, our delight, our deep desire should be for God's will in sacred scripture, and living it out will sustain our true happiness throughout our lives as we endure all the sinful stuff that we're in the midst of.